The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything.
It's hard for me to go back and forth. I have, like, the Laker game on, but I'm actually watching the Yankee game. They got runners on first and second, nobody out, and Sanchez has fouled a few pitches off here against Anderson, the fireballing reliever for the Rays. 7-4 Tampa. So that's accurate, and up to the minute in the seventh, top half, nobody out, two on, and the Dodgers and Padres, I've been watching that one as well. I just glanced at it a minute ago. It was still scoreless, but Glasnow gave them a lead, and the Yankees have not been able to get back in this one, but right now they got action on the paths if Sanchez could just get a hit, but he struck out. On high cheese, like literally 98 mile an hour high cheese, he just whiffed and the whole building like swayed. He swung through it. He missed it. It was a high fastball. But there you go.
And this guy Anderson is one of the Tampa, he's one of their big arms. He had like a 0.5 ERA this year, a billion strikeouts. This guy can throw gas, as you just saw against Sanchez. But now you turn it over, right? These are your top guys. You get DJ and Judge coming up now with a couple guys on. So it's a good spot for both of them.
Yeah, and I got this game going, this basketball game, and it's a two-point game, now three. Morris hits free throws at the line, and it's 9.5 minutes to go. And if you're in the in-game betting, whatever, I don't know what the in-game line is, but this was a 7.5, 8-point game today. Lakers were favored. I'm starting to question that line every game, that why it's so high. I really, honestly, like, it's like they can't get rid of him. You know what I mean? Like, because it's just, in my opinion, it's like pretty much LeBron and Davis and nobody else does anything.
Live line Lakers minus 4.5.
Well, there you go. It's 4 right now. 17 for Davis, 17 for LeBron. On the other side, Butler has 18. Bam, 13. Duncan Robinson, 14. And Hero has 12. So they're all scoring.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, We bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
So Anderson basically struck out the side for the Rays. He came in and struck out three guys, and that was that. He got Judge to strike out to end the inning, and they left two on there in the seventh. So they're still down 7-4 to the Rays, and that would make it 1-1 if the Rays can finish them off. They still got six outs. So they can still go up and see if they can cause some damage. 81-75, 6-point Laker lead right now. And LeBron's got 19. And there's under 9 minutes to go in the game. And I just want to keep an eye on the Dodger-Padre game. Still scoreless. They're in the fourth. One out, nobody on for the Padres in that series there. So that's underway, game one. So this is game two here with the Yankees and Rays. Of course, the Yankees blew them out in the first game, and now the Rays are trying to hold on. 7-4, they've gone to from Glasnow to the bullpen to try to seal the deal against the Yankees tonight and make it one apiece. Tanaka would go tomorrow. Any idea who the Rays would go with? Carver High, do you know anything about that, who they might go with tomorrow?
The Rays are pitching Morton tomorrow.
Oh, that's right, Charlie Morton, that's right. I had asked you about Morton before the show tonight, right? So there you go. Who do you like in that one, Morton or Tanaka, with the series? Let's say if it ends tonight, Rays win, if they get through this, and it's 1-1.
Tanaka has pitched well against the Rays in the past. He's pitched well in the postseason. You would like to think with a little extra rest after the tough performance in Cleveland. Now, to be fair, he had to start the game. The rain came. He came back and he settled down a little bit. You expect a big performance out of Tanaka tomorrow night. Morton has pitched okay against the Yankees. I think he beat him once last year, and another time they beat him. So it's been a little hit or miss with Morton, who hasn't thrown a lot of innings this year. He has been hurt a lot for the Rays, and he missed some time. So this is a game where if the Yankees have Tanaka and they are looking at not much else in game four, the Yankees are going to need this one badly tomorrow night.
So here's another Davis. He's down on the ground, on the court. They've stopped the game, but not until Hero hit a bomb from the corner. Hero hit a bomb from the corner to make it a 3-point game. But if you ask me, this is what happened. What I just saw out of the corner of my eye was Caruso was the one that nailed Davis. Davis couldn't get up. Davis is acting like he's crippled. He's still on the floor with 7.5 minutes to go, 81-78 Lakers. Now he gets up, and I have no idea what's going on there. If he's just acting, I can't keep up with all their Oscar performances. Every time that someone touches them, they act like they lose their eyes and break their noses and have their kneecaps blown out. And
I mean, this dude is constantly on the ground. I mean, every time you turn around, Davis is grabbing his eye or he's on the ground rolling around. I mean, just
how about when he,
what
how about
are
when
we
he
doing?
Closes his eye for like he'll close his eye for 2 minutes and then he'll open it up and it'll be fine.
Yeah, when he's dunking he's on like, somebody, he opens it back up after a dunk.
Yeah, or he opens it back up when he goes to the line to shoot two free throws. So he knows how to walk around with one eye closed and then act like he's injured. And then he goes to the line and suddenly he's fine. And I mean, it is true. It's not even, you can't even argue it. Like, watch the games. They flop like salmon, I've called them before. And it's just unbelievable how they argue every call. I mean, it's unbelievable. Like, I just saw Caruso and Davis on the ground. I actually think Caruso's the one that leveled him. And they acted like they were both dead. It was like a drive-by shooting or something I was watching. I don't know what was going on there, but boy, did they ham it up, man. The ham and eggers. They got it all going, the Lakers with the refs. It's unbelievable. But the thing is, the Heat just won't go away. You got Butler with 18, Hero now 15. Hero has two threes. Robinson has two threes. Crowder's got a three. None for Bam or Butler. One for Iggy. Two for Nunn. Kendrick Nunn's hit a couple, so he's got 6 points. They've actually hit 8 threes in the game. The Lakers have hit 12 threes. The Lakers are actually shooting 40% from downtown to 26% for the Heat. But I just saw Hero hit a big three to make it a three-point game. So I guess it's when you hit them, not how many you hit. It's when are you hitting them? When are they going down? When are they falling? And are you catching up? They were down six, now they're down three, and you get a three to get them halfway through that cake and see what they can do with it. So still, now the Padres are on the board. They've scored a run. Nola singled a deep left center. Myers scored on the play. And the Padres have the lead in the fourth inning with two outs on the Dodgers and Bueller. And so San Diego leads it and still Rays 7-4 over the Yankees in the bottom of the seventh with two outs, nobody on. So what do you think, Carver High, the end of this Laker game? It seems like it's going to come down to Oscar-winning performances for LeBron, Davis, Caruso, and Vogel working the refs and getting calls. Because do you even see the Heat ever question any calls? Have you seen them argue anything?
No, they don't. They have not argued anything. You know what? I got to say, I got to give the Heat some credit here tonight. I'm not, obviously, we don't know if they're going to win this game yet. There's a couple minutes left in the fourth. But I didn't think that they would be in the game tonight. I thought the Lakers would come back tonight after losing in game three and kind of put the hammer down a little bit to take a 3-1 lead. And just get the gentleman sweep after that Heat win, which they may still do, but the Heat are fighting them here all the way to the end. They got a little bit of a boost tonight, obviously, with Adebayo back.
Oh, God, Robinson with a kiss off the glass from 30 feet out at the end of the shot clock. He made a miracle shot off the glass. The banks open on Sundays. The guy threw up a prayer, and it kissed off the glass and fell for three, and it's a two-point game. What a miracle shot by Robinson, his third three. And then I watch Caldwell again, doink. Caldwell Pope, doink. And
I'd like to say that's a winner for me. I had Robinson over 2.5 threes tonight. So there's his third three. Cash that one, Scotty.
That's crucial to, I think, your development as a human being, hitting,
yes.
Hitting that.
Knowing that we needed that three from Duncan Robinson. So there you go.
He's got three. You got the cover there. He's got 17 now. He's one off Butler's pace. Now Butler hits one for 20. It's a tie game. Tie game now. The Heat have come all the way back. Oh, but LeBron gets the and one and the bucket. The foul. He'll go to the line. Of course, he made the layup and flopped backwards on the floor like he had been shot. I have to see if it was necessary. So he goes in. Crowder fouls him. It was legit. He landed and just fell backwards. It was a legit foul.
It almost looked like he got clotheslined there for a moment. The way he fell down.
Well, of course, every time he gets touched, it's the end of the world. 6 minutes left, and he's trying to put him up three. It's unbelievable to me how the Heat won't go away. And I think it just is the same story. I'll keep going back to the well. It's because I just think they're a two-man operation. The Lakers, it's just the rest of them are, it's like they're just filling space. They're out there taking up space. You know what I mean? Like, I am not buying all this. I'm not buying all this. Like, and see, they work the refs for the travel and they give them the travel. If that's LeBron. Now, the other night in, what was it? Sunday night, I was watching a game. I think that was when the game was, right? So Sunday night, did you see when he got called for traveling twice in the second half, LeBron? And the second time he got called for traveling in the paint, he literally took 9 steps. and he argued that he didn't travel. And I mean, he took 9 steps. Like, remember, it was a spinorama move, and he got just absolutely... Now, that's a foul. I love that. Butler just threw LeBron to the ground. Body slam. The people's elbow. The people's elbow. I mean, that is a foul. That's how you foul somebody. This ain't no valet parking, son. Self-park down here. Leave your tip in a barrel.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Pharrell on the bench. So I wanted to see, it's 90-87 Lakers right now with 4 minutes left. And I actually wanted to see, because I've seen him shoot 6 free throws in the last 90 seconds, LeBron. Then I watch the Lakers just missing threes. If it's not in LeBron's hands or Davis, I mean, literally, and it, more so LeBron tonight, if it's not in his hands, like literally they have no chance of making a basket. It's truly unbelievable. And LeBron is 8 of 10 from the line. Nobody else goes at all. Davis is 4 of 4 from the line. And I guess Morris is 3 for 3. And one other guy, Kuzma, shot 2 free throws. That was it. So it's not like they're getting way more free throws. The actual truth is that the Heat have shot 24 free throws. So they've been to the line more, 24 to 19 in terms of getting to the stripe. But I saw LeBron shoot 6 of those 10 free throws in the last like 90 seconds. So he's getting the calls late in this game. And now we know there's just under 4 minutes to go. They're in a timeout. It's a 3-point game and the Heat won't go away. And I think that's because of Jimmy Butler. Butler is the guy that's just not picking up his dribble, making plays. If he does pick up the dribble, he makes the right pass. You know, he doesn't turn it over. He doesn't give it to the Lakers. He gives them problems. He's constantly cycling where he'll dribble and try to get some penetration, get around the rim, and then circle back out and find someone in the corner or on the baseline to pass it to or kick it back out on the wing or top of the key. He always makes the right play. I don't know if you noticed that, but there's really no one else on that team that isn't nervous with the pill. I mean, they get the ball and they get all crazy when they're, you know, in pressure situations or doubled or whatever, or trapped. They freak. And Butler doesn't do that. Butler doesn't lose his mind or the ball when he's got it. He's in control. I actually, you know, they give him the rock every time down. Now he's the main purveyor of the rock. And then he'll give it to you to make a play. He'll give it to you to get that shot. But I see all the time, like I just saw Hero. He got a call and a foul, and he's going to go to the line and on a drive shot to the left of the elbow. But I thought he looked like he was going to turn it over. And I've seen him turn it over a bunch against the Celtics, where he had the ball, top of the key, dribble, 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 turnover, strip by Smart. I saw that happen. I saw Brown strip him. So he got the call right there. He's been pretty tough. 17 with 7 boards. He's got 18 now. And that's the kind of, you know, productivity they need from him. Pope tried to steal the ball from him. He didn't turn it over. I don't know about that call. I thought it was good D on the J. I didn't think he really got him. I thought he may have got him more when he was trying to steal the ball from him than when he shot it. But he missed the second free throw, so it's still Lakers by 2 with 3.5 minutes to go. So, you know, back to Butler. Butler's the guy that makes everything click. Everything happens off of his hands. The best shots, the best dimes, the best ball movement, the best play, the best read, the best pick and roll. He knows how to drive and get to the right spots to give his teammates the best looks. And now he shoots a three, which he doesn't do a lot of, but he missed it. He's not a three-point shooter in my book. He had an open look. He took it. He's not afraid to take that three. And now Pope makes him pay at the other end with a three ball. So now they go back up five, the Lakers, with under three to go. I don't need to see Butler shooting threes when he never shoots them. I need him to get to the rim and get fouled, get to the line, or get somebody a good, clean look in a mid-range shot or something near the rim. Once again, they're going to call a foul. They have to call that on the Lakers. I think that's it's got to be on Rondo. I thought he fouled Hero. But either way, Pope had hit a three. The game's getting pretty tight, obviously, late. And the refs are becoming a factor here. But at the end of the day, LeBron has 26, 19 for Davis. And then Butler has 20, Hero 18, Robinson 17, and Bam Adebayo has 15. And then the Butler numbers are 29 and 7. So once again, he had the 40-point triple-double in the last game in Game 3. He's close to it tonight. I don't think he's going to get it based on how much time's left, getting the rebounds and dimes. But anything could happen, because every time they go down, any plays that happen are because of him. I think all the right moves are made by Butler with the rock to create buckets and, you know, get a good, clean look. That's what they need. They need shots. They don't need to go down and turn the ball over, because right now, any turnovers at all will kill them in this game. They're down five. They need good looks. They need to make shots. And like I said, I don't think his three, it was an open look. You got to take it. Nobody's on you. But he's not comfortable in that role. I've seen him hit threes, but I've seen him miss way more than make. So I don't like him pulling up from three, shooting, even if it's a clean look. I think he's way better making a crazy shot, a circus shot in traffic, in the trees, in the paint, on the baseline, around the rim. He makes these circus shots with fouls, you know, included in the delivery. So, I mean, I like the chance to absorb a foul, make a bucket, maybe get lucky, get an and one, make it a three-point play. He's way better at making a three-point play happen down low than he is from three, and that's just all there is to it. So, as for the baseball, the Rays are still up 7-4. Yankees up now, rather Rays up, after the Yankees got nothing in the top half of the eighth, so they're down to their final three outs. When and if they get through this bottom of the eighth unscathed, Rays up 7-4. And as for the other game, I told you before, the last look I got, it was one zip, Padres, and it's still one zip. Dodgers have a runner at first, one out in the bottom of the fourth. So we got a really good game going on, the late night game with the Padres and the Dodgers. And certainly a good finish. The whole second half, I think, has been pretty tight between the Lakers and Heat. And so now you're down to about 210 and a five-point Laker lead and a rock. Shot clock getting low, though. They got a fire. Pope's going to try to drive, and he did it and got the bucket off the glass. The last guy you think that would go from the top of the key all the way in on a big and score is Caldwell Pope, and he does it. Now they're up 7 with 2 minutes to go. And, I mean, really, the Heat can't afford to go down and miss another shot, if you ask me, Carver High. Because if they go down and brick another one or don't get a good look, and the Lakers go up 9 or 10 with 90 seconds left, you're dead. Then we're talking about them covering that 7.5-8.
Yeah, this is it for them here. You got it right. And the last possession was so unfortunate because the shot clock ran out on them. Adebayo hit the shot, but it just, you know, he didn't get rid of it in time, which would have got them down three, right? So that was a huge swing with Pope going to the other end. 7-point game now. You're right. You got to get points and a stop. This is points and a stop time right here.
They have to score on this trip down, because otherwise it could end up 9 or 10, depending on what the Lakers do. But he drove on Robinson there and got the beautiful kiss off the glass. And it looked like he did get fouled. He didn't get fouled at all. That was Robinson slapping the glass. So that was just a clean look. There's no foul call. They're up 7 with 2 minutes to go. And the Heat are going to have the ball. They have to go down and score or they're in big trouble, mister. Because, like I said, they get down 9 or 10. It's good night, Irene. Then they won't get any. Then they'll have rush shots and rush looks. Like Robinson just shot a bomb, a three bomb, and missed everything. But the Lakers lost the – they turned the rebound over. They got the rebound, and then they had two players collide, and they turn it over. That's a huge turnover by the Lakers. And then they get a Crowder three out of it. So right there, now it's a four-point game. Do you understand? They're up 7. They get a miss on a Robinson chuck, and the Lakers get the rebound, and two guys collide. They turn the ball over. Crowder hits a three, and it's a four-point game. That's a huge swing, if you ask me, because they got a bad shot and missed, and then the Lakers had a rebound, and it's lights out. Instead, they turn it over, and Crowder gets a three out of it, and now with a minute 37 left, they're still in it, down 4. So that was a huge bucket. We knew that they needed that bucket. If they don't score there, which they, you know, Robinson missed the shot. The Lakers get that rebound. It's lights out, but they turned it over. So same as we had initiated with you, they had to score and they did. They got a big three out of Crowder and they should have never had that look because they turned the ball over. Then they let Rondo go in and shoot a layup uncontested. Like that's just bad defense right there. Minute 20 left. That's just bad D. That's all there is to it. So now they're looking for the best shot. Again, Robinson, and he couldn't do anything because Davis was all over him. But he gives it to Butler. He doesn't turn the ball over. So once again, he makes the right passes. Oh, and then the Hero misses a little leaner on the baseline. He had a little one-pump leaner, and it rolled off the rim. So under a minute now, Lakers have the pill, and they got like 10 on the shot clock. They got to get a shot off here. Up 6. And if they get another one, they go up 8. Rondo's going to give it back to Davis. Oh, and he buries a 3. That's the dagger right there. Davis from downtown. And LeBron and Davis are putting on a little show now for the cameras. They know that 3 is a dagger. With 40 seconds left, they're up 9 now. That was huge. 191. Did you see that shot, Carver High? Oh, God. Carver High said he loves that deep shot from Davis. Stepping up. Boom. From out on the wing. Downtown. All right, the Lakers win 102-96. Hero hit a three bomb at the top of the key with no time left to backdoor the spread. So that was a bad beat. There you go. Lakers were up, 9. And then he hits LeBron hit 2 free throws to make it a 9-point game with 10 seconds left. They went down, and Hero pulls up from 25 feet out and buries it as the clock expires, and it counts. And there's the backdoor cover by the Heat on the, it was 7.5, 8. So LeBron had it at 9 to win. And all they had to do was stop him one shot. And they let Hero shoot a 3 for no reason. That has got nothing to do with anything other than you losing your bet. That's what that had to do with, because that wasn't going to change the game at all. But he made the 3 bomb and there's the cover backdoor and you lose. What could be worse? I want to vomit. I would have rather have seen him win the game than lose that way. And then he hits that shot to cover. Unbelievable. With no time left at all either. Oh, my God. I'm sick to my stomach. I don't know what's worse. That or today when we were doing Coast to Coast and I got that news that Eddie Van Halen died. Oh, my God. That was just terrible. I mean, you knew that he had throat cancer for all these years. He had been battling that forever, right? It had just been going on forever. And he finally died at 65. But he's too young, in my opinion, to be gone. And it's bizarre how all these, you know, rock legends and musicians and singers and whatever you want to call them, from all genres, they all end up, you know, it's crazy, right? The best ones always end up dead. And you can't even argue it, right? Like, some of the greatest musicians of all time, everybody dies. But obviously, when you're rock stars and you're legends and people that you're enamored with, musicians and stuff like that, when they pass, actors, actresses, people get all worked up, right? So what did you think today when you heard that Eddie Van Halen died? I was blown away. I felt terrible. And then I saw, like, the evening news, David Muir, they did a thing on him at the end of the show. The last 3 minutes, they did a, you know, bit on Eddie Van Halen's legend. And they played a bunch of his clips of him playing that guitar and how fast he was and incredible he was. And you saw the tributes just pouring in all over the place for Eddie Van Halen, and on social media, everywhere else, it was just crazy. What did you think when you saw that he had died? You're the one that said he died. You're the one that broke the news to me that he died right before the show today on Coast to Coast. It was the first thing I said coming out of the gates was Eddie Van Halen had died.
Yeah, sad day, obviously. And I did like Van Halen. I was more Hagar than David Lee Roth, because just my age, I kind of missed the early 80s, 1984, all that stuff, which was, listen, classic Van Halen, no question. I caught more of the Hagar for Unlawful Carnal Knowledge Van Halen. But either way, you're talking about one of the five, one of the five best, most talented original guitar players of all time. I mean, the way the guy could shred, just unbelievable, the talent that the guy had, and that band doing it with two different singers. One of the all-time greats. Very sad, Scotty. Very sad.
My buddy had a he was enamored with him, John Boy, who died this year as well in a skiing accident. And when I went to his funeral, I already knew he had the Eddie Van Halen guitar Harley. He had bought that and had it painted, and it was a great Harley, and he had it painted like Eddie's guitar, the red and white one. And I have pictures of it from his funeral. They put his Harley in, you know, in place of a, you know, casket at the funeral, right? Like, that was the thing you saw when you came in. A lot of people, you know, have viewings and stuff like that. They didn't do that here. I know that I think they had that going on at the funeral home or whatever. I didn't get there for that. I got there for the funeral. I went to the funeral and I walked into this funeral, and the first thing I saw was Eddie Van Halen's guitar colored Harley. The whole thing was the motorcycle was decked out to look like that guitar. The guy loved Van Halen. And I grew up with all of that from the beginning. Van Halen from the beginning. So for me, it's one of the great rock bands of my entire life. Certainly, I saw him several times live. Just absolutely incredible. I liked him even when you talk about Hagar. I liked him then, too. I've told you that before. I liked Sammy with him. I thought they were great. And obviously, the Van Halen brothers were the force behind the band. I thought they dealt with a lot of drama with David Lee Roth. And then I think, you know, Sammy was with him for a while, and I think Alex and Eddie were hard to deal with, right?
Yes, like, that was always the story, that the Van Halen brothers were very tough to deal with. There was, you know, they kind of threw Michael Anthony out to let the son Wolfgang come in and play bass in the band, and there was always a lot of stories about how difficult they were to deal with.
I mean, it just, like, because I thought they were awesome, but then, you know, bottom line is they got sick and tired of David Lee Roth, right? They just were done dealing with his painful ass.
You know, and he is pretty painful. Let's be fair. I mean, let's be
fair. I mean, I think that's a legit argument about him, that he became, and who wouldn't? Like, I'm seeing it right now in the news. They're honoring him on the news in New York. Right as we speak, I'm seeing the rock icon remembered. everyone's talking about it, that he died. But I thought, you know, David Lee Roth was great when he was young, and they were a real heavy metal band, right? Like, they were, you know, like a real rock band. They were huge. They had played everywhere, including L.A., all the clubs, you name it. Got, they got enormous, right? And then I think that one thing led to another, and then I think David Lee Roth, pretty much when he got so huge, so enormous, so gigantic, that he lost his mind. And I think that Eddie was sick and tired of him, and Alex and Eddie were like the mob. I mean, it was their band, and they weren't going to have it. And they eventually got rid of him, right? And or he left, whatever you want to call it. I think they got rid of him. I think that they got rid of him. And then they bring in Sammy Hagar, who was great. But what I had understood was that they're so painful to work for. That, like, even Sammy's like a Cabo San Lucas guy. He's
laid back, man. Sammy just wants to chill and make music. He doesn't want to deal with the stress, which is why also, you know, a couple years ago, maybe in the last 10 to 15 years, without Van Halen, Sammy got Dave with him. And, like, they went out and toured together. Like, it was Dave and Sammy, you know, and they each did a solo set, and they would both play some Van Halen tunes. And even that, Sammy eventually was like, this guy's painful. Like, I can't deal with this guy anymore with Dave. So even he couldn't do that anymore. So
yeah, well,
Sammy's just chill.
Cool. He's too cool.
Sammy's
for them.
Chill. Sammy just wants to kick back with his Cabo Wabo and just play a couple tunes and jam out. Like, that's what Sammy's into.
And have fun. And I think that Alex and Eddie were at some point they were too deep into it, like in terms of the business end of it and the concerts, the touring and the demands and the, you know, media and the availability, all of it. And I don't think Sammy Hagar wanted any part of that. I think Sammy's a great front man, right? He could definitely, I thought he was fantastic with Van Halen. I had no problem with that at all. I loved it, but they couldn't deal with each other because the Van Halens were so painful is what most people think. Is the story. But when I found out today that he died, I was just, even though I knew he had been sick for so long, like, I feel like Eddie Van Halen's had throat cancer for at least 15, 20 years. Is that crazy to say? How long has it been?
It's been a while. It has been a while.
Okay. So I never thought that that was a good situation. I was like, this guy's got throat cancer. That can't be good. And I know a couple of times he got really sick and skinny and everything else. Somehow he survived it all these years. I don't know how long it was, but it was definitely no joke. It was at least a decade. And so when I found out today that he died, it was like getting kicked in the onions. I felt so bad. I was so caught off guard by that news that he had died today, that he finally died. I was just, it just devastated me. I just was like, because I grew up with that from the beginning, from their inception, from the jump, no pun intended. I literally have followed that band for all these years and loved Eddie Van Halen kind of silently. I never went around saying, oh, I think Eddie Van Halen's the greatest thing ever, but I liked him a lot. And I always loved Van Halen. I mean, you name it. You know, I'm friends with a lot of these bands, and I was not friends with Van Halen. I don't have any connections to Van Halen. But I do all these other bands, right? And I've been around some great bands, Metallica and Guns N' Roses and Motley Crue and all these others. I know them all, but I don't know them. And I, you know, it's weird because I worked at CBS Radio when they brought him in to do Morning Drive or whatever, when Howard left. Remember, they were going to put David Lee Roth on K-Rock. What a disaster that was. And I mean, that was an utter just absolute shack show. That was what a disaster. I mean, that was a train wreck. So whatever. But I, you know, when he got older, right, when he was young, David Lee Roth was phenomenal. He was just so incredible as a frontman for Van Halen. There's just no questions asked that he was the man. But when he got older, right, and he, when he had been kicked out of the band or whatever, and he started doing like radio and everything, he was a freak. I'm not even wrong, Carver High. What a weirdo. He turned into a weirdo.
Big time.
I couldn't even listen to him. I was like, when I listened to him talk and act, the way he was like, did his show and who he'd become, like, it was weird for me because I always thought he was such a rock icon, like that he was such an incredible front man. The way he performed, the way he sang, he'd go out there half naked with no clothes on and that long hair, and he just would absolutely own the crowd and manipulate the crowd and just be such a kind of a playboy on stage, right? And then when he got older in life and was doing radio in New York, he was just kind of a freak. So I don't know, but I remember even watching Eddie Van Halen with Valerie Bertinelli, right? And then they had Wolfgang. And it's just crazy. It's so crazy to me that he's gone. I just think it sucks. I think this has been the worst year, 2020. Because, you know, we used to say, wow, 2019 really sucked. Man, 2020 kicked 2019's ass. I mean, for bad years, you can't even, what year was worse? 9/11 that year? I mean, honestly, because 2001, I mean, was that the worst year with that, what happened with terrorism and everything else? Because I think 2020 with this COVID has been way worse. And then with the deaths, I mean, if you look at the deaths from January 1st of this year to today, you'd be blown away by all the heroes and people that have influenced your life in entertainment, movies, rock stars, athletes. I mean, everyone and their brother has died in sports. And then Eddie Van Halen died today. Are you kidding me? That was just a show killer. It was just awful. What happened, Carver High? Something with the Yankees? But they got one in at 7-5. Under a tremendous strain. All right, so that's it. Game over. All right, Dodgers down 1-0 to the Padres in the bottom of the fifth. One out, runner on first. They can't do anything so far with the Padres pitching. Hill is on the mound for San Diego now. They lead it 1-0. And the Rays just beat the Yankees 7-5 to even that series at 1-1. And the Lakers win, but Hero's late dagger 3 at the buzzer counts. For the backdoor cover, the Lakers were up 9. They win by 6. Morenci's next with Sports Rage. The only thing I care about tonight is not that I hit a bunch of the baseball bets and the Lakers to win. It's that Eddie Van Halen died. I'm just thoroughly dragged out by it. It bums me out. It's just terrible news. It ruined my day.
Yeah, it really does suck, man. I didn't see it coming. It was one of those sudden deals. I knew he wasn't... I knew it wasn't in picture perfect health, and I knew we had issues, but I didn't realize it was like this. And yeah, it just sucks. I know you're a big music fan, you're a big metal fan, and like, listen, you got Jimi Hendrix, you know, Woodstock, everyone's like peace and love and acoustic guitars and Joan Baez and all this stuff, and you got a dude comes out and sets his guitar on fire, kind of set the stage, but. After that, I mean, like, really, like, hard rock as we know it. Like, you think of L.A. I lived in Hollywood. There right. is no Sunset Strip without Van Halen. They are the right. Sunset Strip. I know the Doors, but you know what I mean, Scotty? Like, hard rock, heavy doubt. Metal, arena rock, stadium rock. There's not a cooler band than Van Halen. You got AC/DC, straightforward, but Van Halen, just that party. It comes on, even if you hate the world and you're the biggest, like, you know, death metal, I listen to Venom and Sodom. You can't help but like Running with the Devil, like, or Panama. Just all their riffs are just so cool. And it's just, right. it just says, let's party.
Hey, I mentioned earlier, I said, you know, the Sunset Strip, I mentioned LA, like Hollywood, just Van Halen from the jump, literally, no pun intended, from the beginning of time. They were LA. It was crazy. Morenci's next. I'll see you tomorrow on Coast to Coast at 4. Good night, everybody.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. from plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.